From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show. Super excited about today's show. I have somebody who is an expert in podcasting, in media general. So we're going to talk to Jeff Holden about all things that he has in terms of experience in podcasting and bringing the media to life. Again, this is the Mark Haney Show. We are building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs, and it's centered around this culture of love. And Jeff is a local entrepreneur. He is helping bring us together as entrepreneurs. In many ways, he helped us with GFX in a big way. And so now I'm really proud to have him on the show. And let's learn something and get inspired by Jeff Holden.
I think it's my honor to be here, Mark. And the GFX thing was, I've heard you say so many times to entrepreneurs, what is it you're working on? How can I help?
Yeah.
I find myself saying the same thing. And I think I'd been saying it all along, but not recognizing it wasn't intentional. And now I hear it, and it's intentional. I mean, we were both at an event on Friday last week, a couple weeks ago by the time this airs. I want to say congratulations on your Entrepreneur of the Year Award from the Metro Chamber.
Oh, thank you.
That is a huge, huge accomplishment and recognition.
Thank you.
But I was walking around the crowd, as we all do, and you want to see people you haven't seen in a long time. And what are you doing now? Oh, great. How can I help?
That's awesome.
It was just everywhere. So, congratulations to you on actually coining it and putting it together with intentionality.
Okay, so that's interesting. Thank you for recognizing that, because I've had a few other people, you throw a lot of stuff against the wall, right? As in the media, do public speaking, you sort of throw things out there and some stick and some don't and some, suck. And so what are you working on? How can I help? Is really, if we could make that we can coin that question, that phrase, I think it's a great conversation starter, and I think it could transform Sacramento, because I think a lot of us are shy. So you come in, hi, how are you?
Right.
And you don't really think about asking the question, how can I help, right off the bat, right? So it's just not what comes out of our mouth. You're just like, hey, tell me about what's going on with you these days. Not how can I help is part of it.
Right.
But really, when we help people, it's a way of showing that love.
Well, and I think between the two of us, we've got some years. We've been around for a while, and we know a lot of people. We've seen a lot of different things. So there's a confidence that comes with how can I help, because we might be able to.
Right.
At an early stage in your career, you may not be able to do that because you don't have the confidence of what it is you might be asking. And somebody senior to you might look and go, kid, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
What can you do to help me?
I think that's a good point. And one of the ways that I think people help each other in Sacramento, and I know you do this and I try to do this too, is make connections that are valuable to people. So how can I help might mean, you're working on something in security. Well, I know some people in the security industry. Let me see if I can help you. Or maybe it's retail. Oh, I know some retail marketing people. And those connections sometimes have value.
Yes, absolutely. I was in the broadcast business for 35 years, and most of it here in Sacramento. And over the course of time, you get the opportunity to meet so many business owners. One who you know very well, Dale Carlson. I got here the year he started Sleep Train.
Wow.
And so we kind of saw this thing develop and grow all by itself with all that effort and all that time that he put into it from the beginning to his exit.
And if you don't know who Dale Carlson is, well, you're not from Sacramento. Dale Carlson built, and his team built, the Sleep Train, which became a
mattress company.
Mattress company that ended up using radio in a big way to really scale to, I don't know how many hundreds of stores. They had a lot of stores.
Yes.
And ended up having a big exit to the mattress firm. But Dale is also very philanthropic. He has the Carlson Center at Sac State, which is an entrepreneurial development group, and just does so many great things for our community. So the fact that you and he kind of started on your venture here in media and in business at the same time, that's ironic.
I remember going to the warehouse, and I had a rep that was taking me, and she says, we're going to meet this guy, Dale Carlson. He's got a mattress company. I'm thinking, well, okay, it's fine. It was a music station at the time. And Well, let's see what it's all about. And he wanted some of our personalities because they were high profile personalities. And I was blown away. It's like, there's this guy in a warehouse with a little tiny office. I mean, are you kidding me, right? He's going to spend this much money. He's spending that much money to endorse with our personalities and people all over town. There must be some money in mattresses that I don't know.
It's high margin, I think.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and he was smart about it because it was real estate for him. Mm-hmm. And he understood, and the service. I mean, he understood the service aspect of what it takes, which I think is so many of us. You know, I've got a service business. Without service, without taking care of the customer, we don't have anything. If we can't help them with what they're trying to accomplish, then we're not in business.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about podcasting in a second, but this Dale was really at the cutting edge of using influencers. So yes. I remember you talked about your media personalities. I remember talking to him about Rush Limbaugh. He sold his Rush Limbaugh a bed. And so people wanted to sleep on Rush Limbaugh's bed or the bed that Rush had bought.
Yes.
And so then it sounds like he really did that with many personalities.
Once he saw that it worked, he said, well, I should try another one and another one. You know, it was Kitty O'Neill. It was Tom Sullivan. And then it was, you know, the personalities all over town from the rock stations. And he took that model and he took it out to San Francisco and he took it down to, you know, Southern California, wherever he saw that personality capability. And they became testimonial endorsers for him. And you're right, influencers today. You know, everybody has what it's called for its time. Mm-hmm. And even the whole radio industry now calls them influencers. But, you know, for us, 25, 30 years ago, they were endorsements.
So let's talk about, let's start by setting an overview for the things that we're going to talk about today. You have multiple organizations. So if you could kind of give an overview of what you're working on and how we might be able to help.
Yeah, thank you. The two things really are we have multi-point content strategies, which kind of manages everything. You know, programs that we do, it gets into more if somebody wants to do more with their podcast than just the studio portion of the podcast. And then we've got Hear Me Now Studio, which is the podcast production arm of everything. And we actually are working on two programs that are of real great interest to me because they're our enterprise programs. One is called the Nonprofit Podcast Network, and the second one is called Imperfect Heart, of which I host both, but that's almost the inconsequential part of it. You know, we just see an opportunity there to really benefit the communities that they serve. And then, of course, we have a cadre of production programs that we do of various degrees in terms of how deep we get into it with those particular hosts.
Interesting. So I'm going to be on a podcast, I think, tomorrow with a young man named Colton Paulus. And then he started a show, which I think is maybe similar to our show, but I was on the Family Business podcast, and you managed their podcast for them. So maybe tell me about like what your management company does, the kinds of podcasters you help, and how that works.
It's a really big spectrum. But I want to address that because if you haven't heard, if you're listening to the podcast, you're watching the YouTube channel, you have to listen to it. It's called A Seat at the Table. It's Mark Haney's story. And it's an incredible story because I've heard you tell bits and pieces of it in various places at various times. But you literally started from your childhood as a newspaper route all the way up to today. Mm-hmm. And our host on that particular program is a lady by the name of Natalie Mariani Kling, Mariani Fruit Packing Company.
Yes.
And so she gets family business. And she just got you to open up.
She's very effective in her interviewing style. Yes. I was extremely impressed with her. I think the Family Business Center has chosen the right person. She's gifted.
She really is. And we've had many family businesses, Sacramento, big family businesses. And Pacific Coast, you know, is a huge one with Dave and Ryan Lucchetti. Mm-hmm. And what we find, not unlike yourself, when they get in there, they start talking. And we call it the confines of the, you know, the studio because it's an enclosed, not unlike here. People open up and they say things that they wouldn't normally say in public, but it's going out as a podcast.
Yeah.
And many times it becomes emotional. We had Stan Van Vleck in there. It was probably the most emotional one we ever had where he's telling the story of his upbringing, his growing up. And everybody that's heard that has responded with just an unbelievable sense of what it was that they didn't know, because it came out. And that's the beauty of what podcasting does. It's the ability to tell your story in your words. And having 35 years in the broadcast business, when the hosts would come on a music station, it was talking about something. When we had the news talk stations here, KFBK and Talk 650, you know, we had news talk, and all talk. It's about people telling stories, and people want to hear stories, and they want to hear positivity out of those stories. And it's not necessarily the negative they want. The negative is a part of it, you know, produces a little bit of that friction that gets you engaged, but they really like when the story comes out good. And there's an outcome that's positive. As you know, from most of the people that you interview, you're interviewing most of them in the positive side of their things.
Well, it's amazing to think about how media has changed. So when I started our show, I wanted to share stories of winning. I wanted to share positive things. But even since then, 7 or 8 years ago, it feels like the mainstream media has become more divisive, polarized. In nature, polarizing, and a lot of negativity. And so I personally don't listen to as much. I listen to KFBK, but I don't watch the political stuff. And you turn on the news, it's
right.
I don't watch that much news anymore. I've kind of gone away from that and doing a little bit more podcast listening.
Oh, and I think part of that is because you can choose what you want on the podcast, mm-hmm. whereas the news just comes at you, and so much of it's negative. Same here. We don't listen very, very little, just because I don't want to hear any more of the negativity. You know, we're working on turning things to a positive. What can we do for the better? And I'm sure you hear it as much as we do, and it frustrates the heck out of us, is, oh, Sacramento this, oh, California this. There's still no better place to live in the country. There is no better place. We interviewed Mike Testa from the Visit Sacramento on another program that we do, our nonprofit podcast program. And he was effusive in his praise and acceptance and welcoming of Sacramento. And I finished up with that podcast, and you know, we ebb and flow in terms of how we feel sometimes. And I got out of there and said, you know, I've got to maintain that level of enthusiasm and, you know, be the evangelist for our city, because it's a great city. Yeah, we have issues. So does everybody else. And those are the stories we want to tell. And certainly we have to address some of those pain points, but it's not the end. You know, it's not the reason to say I'm giving up. It's the reason to say I'm going to start. You know, this is where I start. I start the beginning. We just did a podcast with Kelly Brothers, his podcast, Bite Size Finance. And he had Taro on. Taro
from McCooney's.
McCooney. And they just opened up in Pavilions. His story is incredible. But what I really took out of that was his dad told him when they got in trouble, they got in trouble a couple of times with the business. He said, keep digging. And Taro goes, well, keep digging. How deep do I have to dig? And he goes, his father tells him, it's the foundation. The deeper the foundation, the stronger the building.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that great? Because you would think digging, you're digging a hole to the negative. Yeah. No, he's digging a hole for the foundation. Just keep digging. And
that's very interesting. I've never heard that. I've had Taro on my show, and I didn't, obviously, I was not as good of an interviewer as Kelly Brothers. I did not get that out of him. But that's interesting way to look at a business, is that you have a stronger foundation the more struggle that you have.
Exactly,
and
right.
Because as long as you keep the shovel in your hand and you don't go off the side and quit digging.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as you suffer through the blisters.
Yeah.
And the thing that I like about what we do is we do a variety of different shows. We don't do shows that are general consumption. So it's not for the masses where we're trying to get millions and millions and millions of plays or views or whatever it is. We're not looking at that. We do business to consumer, business to business. And financial program, we have a financial sobriety. It's an award-winning financial show. A couple of guys that are holistic advisors. They don't talk about, you know, here's what we're going to do, and you're going to get this kind of return, and here's what. They talk to entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, who want more out of their money than just more money. You know, more money, what do you do with it? If they're already wealthy, they've already got so much of it, more doesn't do them any good. They
That's
want a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, they want to change the way they live. They've gotten to this point. They're successful. Now what do I do?
What's the name of that show?
It's Financial Sobriety.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is, you know, one of the co-hosts of that literally went off the deep end. And he's a financial advisor, big speaker. He was selling, you know, wholesale products to advisors, big auditorium speaker and presenter. And one day found himself broke, literally tapped on everything, just spending like crazy. And of course, that fueled everything else to go into abuse. And he had to get that ship righted. Mm-hmm. And so he did. And now he's back with his partner, Jim Gebhardt.
And I guess that's part of the naming of the show is we've got to stay grounded in your approach to your finance.
Yeah, financially sober. Yeah. And so that's one of the things I remember when I was at the radio stations. I'd get, you know, 15 years I was at KFBK, and people would come in, and I always made sure I welcomed them and said hello. And we had then, I don't know what Newsom was at the time when he came in, but I said, you're going to be governor someday. And he goes, you bet I am.
Wow.
You know, and we got the picture and he signed something for me. I thought that, well, that's pretty cool. I can't say I love the guy's process now and everything he's doing, but you can see certain things. But it was always a pleasure for me to be able to see those people. At the radio station, though, when they came in, they're going to get questioned. And there can be some tough questions and maybe some questions they don't want to deal with. The difference on the podcast side, because we're not that type of a studio, when we have these people come in, they're coming in and it's disarming. It's mm-hmm. it's a comfortable conversation because most of what we're asking is for the positive. We do a program for NFIB, California, National Federation of Independent Businesses. And again, when I left the stations, I thought, oh, man, it's too bad. I'm never going to get to see these people again. It was so much fun. We've had more people now in the course of just a couple of years. We've been doing this program for 3 years. I mean, you know, Fiona Ma, Daryl Steinberg, assembly members come in because they're talking about the bills that they want to talk about.
Okay.
And the NFIB is asking questions. How does this impact small business? So you can kind of get a feel for the journey we're on with these podcasts. We have a couple of ladies that do a mindset program. They're professional coaches for people in terms of their mindset.
That's right mindset, yeah.
And again, I listen to most of the podcasts just for quality control as we go through it, post-editing and all that stuff. And it's amazing just the ingestion of information you get because it's a spectrum of different content. You know, such a different spectrum.
So what are the, like if somebody wanted to get your services, what would they do? So you have, I guess, a couple of parts to this. You have, they can come to you and do the podcast at your facility.
Yes.
The one that I did with the family business was on Zoom or some other format where it was online.
Yeah.
But what are the different choices? What's the menu look like?
Well, just an aside on that.
Yeah.
We prefer people in the studio like you do because it's face-to-face. There's a vibe. I mean, there is definitely a vibe you get, and there's an energy and there's a warmth when people are together. So we always encourage the opportunity to get together if we can in studio. Sometimes it just isn't feasible. The platform we use is a platform that's a digital. It takes Zoom to a higher level. So it's high def video and high quality audio. And it also doesn't drop out on Wi-Fi.
Like Zoom can do,
You've been there. You know what that's saying. You're garbled up and you're just like, oh, I can't fix that. I lost that piece of content because it's not workable. So this particular product does it. The guy started in Sacramento as well. They both came from Christian Brothers. It's called SquadcastFM.com. And it's just a really great program. But nonetheless, when we talk to people who have an interest in a podcast, and we're out talking to people all the time to tell them why they should be doing a podcast as well. It's think about what it is you do with your business, because we're predominantly business to consumer in some way, shape or form. Could be for lead gen, could be for establishing credibility, authority, you know, online, however you want to use it. It could be a serial podcast. It could go on indefinitely once a month, not unlike yours, on a cadence of some sort, or it could be just, you know, 6 episodes. But what we look for is somebody who has an understanding, first of all, of what it is. Because most people think, oh, I can get up and I'm going to get these tons of people going to listen to me and I'm going to be kind of a little bit of a star. No, you're not.
Yeah, it's tough to get listeners and an audience. Your audience build is not the easiest thing in the world.
No.
Do you help with that at all?
We do. And the biggest help we can do is upfront. I mean, we've turned away a lot of business, you know, because people call, I got this idea. It's not a good idea. Mm. Prove me wrong, please. You know, but for us to work with you, you don't get it. You know, that's not the right way to approach it. And it's always setting that expectation first. And I've seen it. You've talked about it. We all talk about it. If we're working with anybody from a concept basis, what's your why? Why do you want to do this in the first place? Well, if you come to us and say, I think it will help me grow my business. Okay, that's a step in the right direction. Who are you talking to? Who's your audience? Who is your core audience? And I mean, literally your core, what do they look like? If you were going to give me a picture, show me what that person looks like. Okay, that's good. You've thought that through. Now, what are your expectations for this thing? What do you want it to do for your business? Because if you think you're going to get a ton of leads out of it instantly, it's not going to happen like that. It's not like putting, you know, a direct mail piece out where you know that you're going to get X number of returns. It's going to take you, it might take a year. Mm-hmm. Stay with it. Most podcasts fail after 9 episodes.
I was going to say, I don't know how many people I've talked to, dozens, that have started a podcast and they're no longer doing the podcast. It's interesting how people want that quick fix kind of thing. And really to build something, say you're building your brand or you want to get leads, it takes a while.
And people don't understand. It takes not only a while to get it to build, but it's not easy to do. I'm sure one of your frustrations, because we know this so well, is getting guests and then they don't show up. Mm. You know, somebody stiffs. Well, there's your show for that. Oh my gosh, I need it. I need that in my cadence, you know?
So I'll give you just like the history for our audience, the history of my podcast, just so if I have any new listeners out there. So I started.
Not if you do.
I started in 2015 on Sports 1140. I love the people over there. Scott Marsh helped me, mentored me in many ways at the beginning, but it was live radio. So I had to cut the break and all that kind of stuff. And I was real nervous because of all the, you got to cut the break. There's a lot of rigmarole in that. Doing this conversation is very, very easy. It's very natural. But so I did these interviews, but all the cutting to break was a challenge. I stayed on Sports 1140 for a couple of years, and then I moved to Talk 650, which is an iHeart, and had a bigger audience.
It's a much bigger
signal. Yeah, a much bigger audience. And I did it on podcast simultaneously this entire time. And so finally, I said to myself, I sort of looked at it, and most of the reaction that I was getting from in business, in the world that I run in, was really coming through podcasts and through YouTube. So from that standpoint, I decided to sort of walk away from that, and I have a lot of respect for that. But now I feel like but I didn't quit, right? So it's not, the other thing that made me frustrated during that time is I didn't have a business. I started this as a passion project to help the Sacramento community, and figured that I would build a business of some kind associated with the business community of Sacramento. And it took me a few years to figure that out. Now we have the Growth Factory, and it's a venture fund, and we're, you know, helping a lot of entrepreneurs. But there was a lot of struggle there at the beginning and figure out how to make a business model out of it. Because really, a podcast is not really a business model standalone. It's sort of a lose money situation, or an expense, if you will.
Yes. And we see a lot of people who come to us with the expectation that I'm going to build a podcast business. No, don't. That's hard. That's really hard.
I'm going to become an influencer. And when I'm an influencer, I'm valuable. Yes. And so you sort of pre-spend for that. Well, that takes a while, my friends.
Yes. And the only time I've seen it work is where somebody had something to begin with. We helped Grant Napier launch his podcast. Mm. So we worked with Grant for a little over a year until he was comfortable getting everything on his own and doing his own production and editing and all that. And Grant Napier from the Sacramento Kings.
You bet.
And he now has a podcast business. He's living off his podcast, but it's taken him almost 4 years.
Well, and he's got a lot of talent. The other people that, the one that leaps out at me that is a, sort of an exception to what I'm saying, it was my experience, is the All In podcast. Have you heard of that podcast?
I have not.
All In is Jason Calacanis. He's in venture capital in the Bay Area, and he has some other people, and they kind of clown around talking about finance and world politics and all that kind of thing. It is taken off because of these, you know, sophomoric sort of personalities that, but they're brilliant guys in terms of finance and in terms of venture capital. It got popular.
And I think people like that. They like what comes out of podcasting is authenticity. Mm. It's the people. If you're doing it well, if you're doing it right, it's you. So you've got a couple of guys who happen to have either a venture fund or they're talking about everything in that particular space. but they're talking about it like a couple of guys would talk about it, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, buttoned up. They're either on the air, it's a radio program, they can always say certain things. They're having a good time. Yeah. I listen to one that's very much like that. It's my entertainment podcast called Spike's Car Radio.
Okay.
And it's just a couple of guys. Spike used to write for the Jerry Seinfeld show. Seinfeld will show up every so often, but they talk about Porsches, they smoke cigars, they're talking about big watches and all that stuff. But the way they present it, it's not a car show. It's kind of a car show, but it's a bunch of guys just talking and mm-hmm. having a good time. And I'm saying guys, it could be women. There's plenty of those as well. And it could be male, female. It's not a gender specific. It's just the authenticity that podcasts provide. When we get it into a business side, you mentioned that the podcast is just a piece of a tool. It's one of the tools in your toolbox to promote your business. The podcast gives you credibility. It gives you authority. It gives you something that a competitive situation may not have, or competitors may not have. You know, if you're equal going in and you've got a podcast and they don't, you have something that you can share with a client that the other guy doesn't. We have a great example of a podcast, one of our podcasts that we do, the Nonprofit Podcast Network. There's a nonprofit called Sunburst Projects. And they deal with, it was originally AIDS is one of their big projects, which isn't as big as it used to be, but it's still an issue. Mm-hmm. And it's significantly an issue for pregnant women, you know, unhoused, who disadvantaged, whatever. And, you know, if the child comes through the birth canal, they get AIDS.
Wow.
If they can get them out, mm-hmm. you know, moms don't know half the time that they've got it. So that was the origination of the organization. But, you know, now they're big in syphilis. Who knew it's spreading again? And I say that because what he did, the guy that runs that is Jake Bradley Rowe. He took the podcast and attached it to a grant application that he was making, big grant. And he said it differentiated us. We didn't get the grant, but we got into the top 15% on a nationally federally funded grant, which was a huge deal. And he says, so next time we come around, we know that we're starting out in the upper echelon versus the bottom. And they did just get a grant from another funding organization called Impact 100. And, you know, that is one of those things that just makes a bit of a difference, just that little bit that differentiates you from somebody else.
Yeah.
And same with business. If you're the business owner, you want to do it. It takes time. You know, we love to say, this is great. You want to do a podcast. Fantastic. But do you know what it takes to do a podcast? Do you have a team around you that can help you make the podcast so that you don't have to do it? Because you're not going to do it. You're going to do six or seven of them and say, this sucks. It's too much time. I don't want to do it.
I'm just got to go spend time with my customers. I got to go something different, more, you know, with more quick gain.
Yes.
Do you use video on your podcast, any of them?
We do. And we have to now. I'm a radio guy. You know, I come from the audio side of things. And we've been doing podcasts now for maybe 6-7 years. And let me go step back just for a second. Yeah. What started this project like this is when I was leaving, I should say when they left me, KFBK Clear Channel at the time, I had been thinking that there was an opportunity here. Those long form shows on the weekends, you know, like the financial shows, mm-hmm. the home shows, there's an opportunity there. What if we produce those for people and help them get onto the radio station? So that's what started the orientation of my company. And I was sharing a space with somebody else that had a Muzak type business and using their studio when I could get in and out. And it was interesting because what was happening at the same time was podcasting was starting to get some traction. And the next thing you know, it's like I'm talking to the people that were working with predominantly financial advisors at the time. And I'm going, you don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy the time on the radio. You can do it for free. There's people, they're starting to listen to these things. And if you use the podcast appropriately, it'll work. And so that's kind of where we are today. That was just audio. And then all of a sudden, this damn YouTube thing comes
up. Yes.
YouTube is the number one source for podcast discovery. So we have to do video.
That was going to be my recommendation. Anybody that's thinking about starting a podcast is make sure you have a video camera. Because you not only are you posting it on YouTube, but it's your micro content for, let's call it Instagram or some other social media channel. It's going to be a little bit stronger or a lot stronger if it's video. You know, an audio clip, it doesn't really work.
And there's all kinds of services now that break it up for you. Even the production pieces that you, tool that you use, most will have an opportunity for it to be cut up automatically. It's AI. You don't have to do anything.
What do you use in terms of that?
We use several products.
Okay.
We use Descript and we use Podium, which is one of the companies that you invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Ken, who is the founder of the company, at Podcast Movement in Denver last year. There's this guy, he's got this product. I said, this is a little different than what we've been using. And literally in just 6 months, this has changed so much to what we get out of these companies. They're all competing hard. And so for us, it's great because we're getting all these tools that used to take us time and we had to charge for. Now we don't have to charge for it and it doesn't take us any time at all. But Ken had a really unique situation where he's printing this stuff on paper. It's printing. What are you printing? He goes, we're printing chapters. I said, chapters of what? He goes, of the podcast. You can print up to X numbers of hours of the podcast. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I could take a show and let's say there's a financial guy doing Teach Your Children. And the series is maybe 4 episodes long. I can take those 4 episodes and turn them into a book, like an ebook. You can turn it into a hard book if you want. You can print it out. And I said, that is brilliant. That yes. is brilliant. And we're actually using that product right now for a book that I'm writing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. He made a little book for me. You mentioned that I invested into their company and he rents a space here.
Yeah.
And so he's a Sacramento guy. Ironic that you met him out of town.
Yes.
But he's got an amazing product. That Podium product is amazing. And the book product is really unique. We haven't really used the book product yet.
No, that's his point of differentiation. That's what he's got. Because the other guys everybody's in that space right now. And it's a competitive space. And everybody's adding it. It's an add-on. It's free. So it's amazing for us because to think that just 6 months ago, we were doing show notes manually. You know, we're digging through and you'd listen to the episode and you're taking notes. Okay, that's good. I know what I want to say about that one. You maybe could put it into ChatGPT to craft the notes better. But ChatGPT wasn't listening to the program and giving you the notes.
Right.
And now there's a variety of people doing it. Podium gives us 3 different sets of notes written in different ways. So we can choose, mix and blend and clean them up and obviously personalize them so they don't sound a little too much AI. But it's that kind of stuff that's changed dramatically. And back to the business owners. So you got an insurance company, right? And you specialize in recovery of some sort, fires and floods and that sort of thing. Well, what if you interviewed, as your podcast, you interviewed customers for their testimonials about your service?
Mm.
Now you've got a particular situation, a flood situation that happens because sprinklers broken, construction, whatever it might be. And you're talking to somebody else, wherever they may be in city XYZ. This is what we do. This is one of our specialties. As a matter of fact, let me send you this podcast. It doesn't have to be an hour long. It can be 8 minutes.
Right.
Let me just send you this podcast.
Yeah.
It's maybe the whole thing. But it's the story. It's the story of what happened. That's what people want to hear. Because when you go to sell something, what are you doing? You're telling stories.
Right.
Let me tell you a story about somebody that we worked with. We understand what you're dealing with because we dealt with something very similar, the same situation. And then you go into the detail. Okay, now you just established credibility for your business. Because you know, and you've got a customer who's saying exactly what you want to tell that other customer. Now you've got it from a third party and it disarms you. You're the seller. You're the owner. So it's meh. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you probably do. But everybody says they do. But you've got a third party with the exact same situation that you're dealing with or that you're trying to protect yourself from. Great example. I could go down. You name the business. This is what we do. This is how we talk to people, to attorneys, to accounting firms, to financial advisors, which is one of the categories that we really like to specialize in, just because that's what started, and pivots all the way along the way because some stuff just didn't work out as we tried it. But you just keep moving along the line to align those businesses with the right story, and go from there.
I want to move to another subject, if you don't mind. You have an affinity for helping people with medical conditions. You had something happen that you've persevered through. Is it okay to talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, do a podcast on it.
Yeah, so tell me about that podcast and then what led to you wanting to share your message.
Here's, and I think for those of you who haven't heard Mark's story, you'll hear him say it. We all have an epiphany at some point or somewhere along the line, we figure something out. You know, I spent 35 years in the broadcast business and another 10, you know, on this side of it doing podcasting and tying things together. And what does this all look like? In August of 2021, I had a heart attack.
Right in the middle of COVID, kind of. Right?
And I'm like in the best shape of my life. I'm training for an event, a cycling event. I ride a lot. That's my outlet. And interestingly enough, called the death ride. Hmm. And you know, I get to the doctor. He says, "Had you done it, you may have been the poster child for it." And what happened was that particular ride didn't happen because of the fire in Markleeville. For those of us, you know, those of you who live in the area, you might remember the Markleeville fire. Well, it was late July. We're all there ready to do the ride. It's a Friday night and the smoke starts rising and they say, "I've got to cancel." And we're all bummed out. 2 weeks later, I have this heart attack. I get these chest pains. And I'm going to say for anybody that experiences chest pain, angina, you know, pain down the arm, radiating pain in your back, whatever it is, it's serious. Don't wait. And we're fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It took 5 episodes before I even went to the doctor. And ironically, I go to the doctor on a Monday and Thursday I have the heart attack. I'm supposed to meet the cardiologist on Friday.
Oh, so go to the doctor. Okay. So you have some, let's call it more mild episodes that caused you to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And then before you got to the cardiologist, you had a full blown heart attack.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. August 26th.
So the first ones were what? Just pains?
They were pain in the center of the chest. But as I've learned now from doing this podcast, that pain can be anywhere. It can radiate anywhere from the center of the chest, up the arm, all the typical heart attack symptoms we've heard about. And I want to stress again, if you feel that,
Is it the left arm or the right arm? What is the one that's like, it could
right
be
arm.
The one? Oh, it's the right
yeah.
arm.
Yeah. Huh? And you'll feel it in your shoulders and your back. It could just feel like this weird pain. You don't understand. You can't rub it out. And it's just,
I only had it in the center.
Oh,
was it?
It was stick a hot knife in my chest.
Okay. Right, that was the actual heart attack.
No, that was the befores.
That's the yes. Precursors that cause you to want to go to the doctor.
That's what I'm saying. Denial is a big thing.
So the hot knife thing was happening multiple times and you didn't go, you know, hospital.
No, I'm riding. I'm out on my ride. You know, it's like, this will go away. I'll just keep riding. I'll ride through it.
Crazy.
So of course I did.
I'm a wimp. I'd go straight to the hospital.
Oh, well, see, but that's what's changed. And so this happens. And, you know, we have a line with one of the podcasts that we work with. Things don't happen to us. They happen for us. You know, why did this happen? This happened because I'm being told I need to do something to help people in a different way. And it was like a big smack upside the head. I get it. Okay, now I get it. And so that's why we started Imperfect Heart. The program is called Imperfect Heart.
Sorry, I want to get into this for a second, but when you actually had the full-blown heart attack, it was worse than the stabbing
knife.
Oh,
God. Well, then it was every symptom that you've heard about heart attacks.
Nausea. Where were you when it happened?
I woke up at about 3 in the morning, and I told my wife, that stinking pain is there. I feel it right now. It's bugging me.
3 in the morning.
About 3, and it subsided. I said, that's what it always does. It subsides. And then at about 5 o'clock in the morning, it was full on. I could feel the pain radiating down to my arm, my back. I was nauseous. I don't vomit. I just don't, you know, it's like,
yeah, it's you get a strong stomach.
Yeah. And so I am able to, you know, think myself out of it. I said, I think I'm going to lose this. I said, it dropped me to my knees in the bedroom and I'm just sitting on the side of the bed with my hands on the bed and I'm on my knees. And I said, babe, I got to call 911. She's yeah, like right now. So I'm dialing 911. She's running down to, you know, to get some cold rags and stuff to put on me.
And you're the one that called 911, even though you had the heart attack.
Yeah, because I had the phone in my hand.
Ah, okay. You know, your cell phone, I guess.
I just happened to have it right in my hand. I said, I'll dial 911. By the time the guys got there, it had eased up a little bit, and they put all the EKG leads on you, and he's looking at me. I said, I'll just walk out. He goes, no, you won't, because you're not getting up off the couch. I said, no, I feel better. And he goes, no, sir, sit down.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I got it. I respect you. And he hooks me up. He goes, dude, you're having a heart attack. He goes, it's clear as day. you know, they don't just happen and they're over. They go on. So the heart is suffering. So there's blood flow cut off to the heart in some way, shape, or form. They can see it in the EKG.
So they got to rush you to the hospital. Yeah. And then from there, what happened?
They did all the tests, and they couldn't find what was wrong with me. And I said, I'm still experiencing the pain. And Sutter, they did a great job. My cardiologist at the time is a gentleman by the name of Dr. Rishi Menon. He now teaches instead of practicing. We've become friends. And he goes, I don't get it. Well, they said, what we're going to do is we want to put a defibrillator in you. I said, no, that's not going to work. You're not going to do it without knowing what you're doing it for. And continue, the story goes on a little bit, and what they finally say is, okay, good, we don't know, but there is a test that can be done. It's called a provocative test. Only a few hospitals in the country do it because it's dangerous, because they induce the pain. They force the heart to go into what if its failure is. And so they said, you've got this thing called a myocardial bridge, but they're benign. For the audience, myocardial bridges are not benign. They do cause symptoms. It's just that the symptoms are varied for everybody that has them. And about a quarter of the population has a myocardial bridge, about 25% of us, one out of four. Mm. So only 1% of us is symptomatic of the 25%. I disagree, which is part of the program, is I think 1% is what the people hear about, the cardiologists hear about, those of us who complain, those of us who say something's wrong. But how many people do we know who just dropped dead? Yeah. And maybe he was telling his wife, or she was telling her husband, something's not right. More likely guys than gals. And so they send me to Stanford because Stanford does this type of provocative testing. And they find out I have a severe myocardial bridge, and I have a bunch of complications that the myocardial bridge causes. And they are one of the hospitals in they're the number one hospital in the country that does repair the bridge. And what they do is they, you know, open the sternum up.
So surgery.
Full open heart. And they go in. And what a myocardial bridge is the coronary artery, your primary or your widowmaker, goes through the heart. It's under the heart tissue, muscle tissue, instead of going over it. So what's happening is your heart is squeezing the coronary artery that feeds the blood to the heart continuously, every time it beats. And over time, the artery just gets worn out. Says, I'm done. So it starts spasming. And then it compounds.
So they fixed it. Are you okay today?
100%.
Okay. So 100%. You get there, you get to the right doctors, and you're 100% today, and now you want to help the others.
And that's
others.
The story. It's okay. The story to get and let people know, first of all, that chest pain is severe, or serious. Yes, it's severe too, but it's serious. Don't wait. You know, because it's not likely a myocardial bridge. But if you cannot get diagnosed, you keep going doctor, different cardiologists, keep telling people, they gaslight you, oh, you're fine, it's anxiety, you're just stressed, let me give you Valium. No, keep going, because if you experience this pain, and if you know in your body, you know what it feels like, keep looking and check myocardial bridges. Ask your doctor, say, did you check for this? Because if you can't get a diagnosis and it keeps continuing, it could very well be a bridge.
Yeah. Well, and anybody listening out there too, that there are ways to get out in front of this too. If you're health conscious, you can go get these scans for.
Yes.
I mean, they're expensive. I don't know if they're $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 or something. You can get a pre-nuvo scan, and it's like a full body MRI, and it will. I'm not saying it'll pick up what you had, but it can pick up. A lot. And so early detection, I mean, is so big for whether it be cancer or heart problems or whatever. So I want to encourage everybody to be thinking that way.
Yeah, that's right.
So about that podcast. So now what's the name of that podcast?
It's called Imperfect Heart.
Okay.
And we really just interview and talk to either doctors or patients. And we do patients in a variety of different ways. And it's amazing because I'm just this guy. I'm a guy. Yeah, I had the surgery. I had the condition. I had the surgery. I've recovered. I did the death ride 2 years later. So just last year, I did it.
Congratulations.
Post-surgery to say, look, when you're fixed, you're fixed. Yeah. You can do it. And I think because there's only one of these types of programs, I get response from everybody. I've had the number one surgeon in the world on the program. I've had the number one robotic surgeon in the world. He invited me to a surgery, in Chicago. I went back and I attended somebody getting their heart worked on by the robot to fix the condition.
Wow.
And what's even more amazing is I interviewed the doctor. The doctor's episode comes out on a particular Tuesday. His nurse is inviting me to come attend a surgery on a particular date. As I'm on the phone with her, I'm getting a DM on Facebook from somebody who just heard that episode. And this person sends it to me and goes, I got more information out of the podcast than I did from the doctor. I met with this doctor. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. My surgery is on such and such a date. That's the date I'm going. So if you ever think there's any divinity in any of this, there absolutely is. I'm like, I got sweats. And I'm like, I text her back. I said, look, you've got to call me. Don't worry. Everything's fine. You have to call me. And I get a call from this person. And they haven't been revealed, so I don't want to say anything, just HIPAA law and all that. And I said, can I meet you? And the answer is yes, of course. I can't wait to meet you. Because I wanted to go and say, I can help. I can give you some relief while you're there and share my story. It's going to be fine. And obviously everything was, and it all worked out well. But It's just one of those things you go, am I in the right space sometimes? And this isn't about money. It's not, I don't see it as a real money-making situation. We'll cover our costs on it eventually. But that's where you go, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. People.
Well, I don't know what I didn't ask you. We really went in a direction that was fun for me or educational for me today on the show, which I appreciate. But there's people out there listening right now that are thinking about doing a podcast, entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. small business people, medium-sized business people thinking, look, I might be able to be the face of my company's brand. And
as you are.
And with our company Mark at some Haney, level, I'm
the
doing
podcast
that.
To the you Growth bet. Factory, yes.
And it can be effective, but maybe just advice to people out there that are contemplating it now. What should they be thinking or what advice might you give them?
Always the big why. Why do you want to do it? And the second thing, do you have the bandwidth to do it? It doesn't just come, you sit down in front of a microphone, that won't work. It'll sound terrible. Yeah, do you have the ability to produce a quality piece?
Yeah, it needs to help your brand.
Yes, because you don't want to embarrass your brand. And you want to be authoritative in what you're saying. You want to establish your credibility. The best way to destroy it is to come off looking like a goofball, sloppy or whatever. And if anybody wants, they can just email me, jeff@hearmenowstudio.com. I'll send them, just a checklist of things to consider. Did you think about this? And obviously it's who and why and how are you going to do it? What kind of podcast is it going to be? Are you going to be interview style? You're going to be monologue? Are you going to have host, co-host, guests? All these things come into play. And then when you're done with it, once you make it, because you can make it on GarageBand, you can do it relatively simply and have it even sound, quality of sound okay. But the content is what matters. I mean, there's some really bad sounding shows out there, but they get lots of plays because the content is so good. And then vice versa, there's some greatly produced shows, but they suck. They're awful to listen to because the content's so bad. It's just a bunch of people, think if somebody cares about what they're saying.
Yeah.
And more often than not, they don't.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate everything you've done to help us at the Growth Factory, at GFX, and everything you do to help small business and medium-sized business people around the Sacramento region. I think it really is a way to elevate our brand, is to get our message out through podcasts and through YouTube.
Yeah,
so thank you.
One other piece that we do is our nonprofit podcast network.
Oh, yeah.
The Nonprofit Podcast Network. Yeah. It's to benefit nonprofits. It's pro bono for nonprofits. And I'll be talking to your son for Allegiant.
Oh, nice.
And, that's, again, it's another one of those opportunities to say, okay, how can we give back? So the podcast is all about individual nonprofit entities, great people, just all kinds. They can be big, they can be small. I mean, we had Luke Wood on from Sac State.
Nice.
Just released. But we've also done, like I mentioned earlier, Sunburst, which is just a small organization. because if we can benefit them, it's strengthen our community.
You bet. There's so many nonprofits out there that are really undercapitalized, for lack of a better term. There's just, they don't have great funding sources. So for you to help them with a podcast for free,
right,
it's very generous. And I think that elevates their brand. So congratulations on, or thank you for doing that.
Happy to do it. It's my pleasure. And thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, Jeff. Thanks. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.